Okay, okay, so I'm warning you, these are some of those jokes. All right, the first one is, and I hope I get this right, Josh, all right? First one is, what kind of a tree do chickens grow on? What kind of a tree do chickens grow on? Poultry. All right, poultry, that's right, poultry. All right, and this is my favorite one. All right, what's a vampire's favorite animal? I'm laughing thinking about it already. A giraffe. I just think that is hilarious. You'll get on the way home, y'all. You'll get on the way home. Because the neck is so long. Yeah, okay, all right, all right, all right. See, there we go, Mike. I'm glad that you're with me, dude. I'm glad you're right here. All right, all right, all right, all right. All right, all right, all right. Enough fun. No, actually, the Word of God's fun. So let's go before the Lord in prayer this evening, and then we can begin. Father, we come before you, and we just thank you for today. Lord, today is the day that you have made. Father, we can rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, you know what? It's just been on my heart today, God, that the Bible declares that you are a good God. And Lord, you are good all the time. It doesn't matter what's going on in our lives, what's going on in the nation, what's going on around the world. Father God, you are good all the time. Lord, the Bible even goes as far as to say then after that, and your mercy endures forever. God, there will never come a day where you'll not have mercy for us. And God, mercy we know from the Word of God does so much more than just forgive us of our sins. But Lord, it meets our needs, the mercy and the compassion of God. And then Lord, it says after that, it says that your truth endures to all generations. God, your word will always be relevant. So God, we ask that as we open up the Word of God today, that you would absolutely speak to our hearts, or that you would reveal truth to us and help us go in the way that you designed us to go, Lord, that you purposed us to go, that you desired us to go. And Lord, we'll give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for all of the blessings and all of the achievements and all the heights that we reach following after you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody in agreement that said, amen, amen. All right, if you're taking notes, this is going to be part number two of Up and Under. If you were here with us last week, we did this message on Up and Under, and so we're going to continue now with part number two of Up and Under. And if you brought your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn in them with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading. Well, I'll tell you where we're going to begin reading in just a second, but just turn to Philippians chapter 2, and if I could for just a moment remind you of kind of some of the things that we said last week. First of all, we said this. When you think about up and under, that might seem like a phrase like, okay, I'm not really sure what we're talking about, okay? But you will in just a moment. First of all, hey, listen, like we said, even like Beth said, Beth was preaching it today too, that you know what? God is good, and God wants to take you up. God wants to bless you. God wants to see you prosperous. God wants to see you fulfill the purpose and the plan and the destiny that he has for your life, okay? God is not out for your destruction. Erica was talking about it in the song, too. I was like, ooh, this is confirmation. Thank you, Jesus. I'll take it. All right? But God is for you, and he's not against you. He wants to take you, if you will, up. That's what I mean by up, okay? And then this other part, up and under, well, we realized last week, okay, that in order to go up, sometimes you have to go down first. In other words, up and under really have a symbiotic relationship. They work together. Everybody follow me today? We said this, you know, in order to jump, you actually have to bend your knees and go down first before you go up and you get lift, right? And you get airborne. Everybody follow me? You got to go down first to go up, okay? We also talked about, how about this, the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Up in Italy, and everybody familiar with the Leaning Tower of Pisa? It's that tower that's tilted, you know, right? And if you don't know the backstory to this tower, actually, it took them, and last week I said it took about a century. Actually, I found out it took over 3 centuries to build this tower, what it is today. But the reason why is because they started this tower, all right? They started building. They got about 2 stories high, and all of a sudden it started to tilt because they didn't dig down first and build a proper foundation before they started building up. So the dirt beneath this one side of this tower began to give way. And so what do you have? Well, you have a tilting tower now. And so they try to fix it and they try to do different things. Well, over the course of centuries and wars and all this kind of stuff, they just ended up building on it. And now I guess it's, well, stable. Take your own chances with it. I don't know. But they've got to stabilize it. But it's become a tourist attraction and it's tilted. And the point is, they didn't go down first before going up. See, if you want to go up, sometimes you have to go down first. And then finally, I talked about Michael Jordan. For those of you who are wondering who the best basketball player is of all time, it's not LeBron and it's not Kobe Bryant. Can I get an amen? It is Michael Jordan. And I talked about his famous layup, and I was trying to describe, you know, how he came up to the rim and he's going to do the finger roll thing, but then he stopped in midair and he came back down around and he laid it up with his left hand off the backboard. In order to make the shot, although he was up high, he had to come back down first. Before, it doesn't matter how high you get in life, you're going to have this principle within your heart that I've got to come down first before I go up. Everybody follow me? So what I thought I'd do is I thought I'd show you real quick the video of Michael Jordan's layup, and maybe this will help it hit home, shall we? Please give your attention to the screen.
AC continues to fire away. He's now 1-for-9. The look away to Livingston. Jordan. Oh, a spectacular move by Michael Jordan. That's 13 consecutive field goals.
Hang on, they'll do it slow-mo. Slow-mo. Amazing, right? Amazing. All right, you can cut it. So he was going up, but then he came back down and went around. I don't know if you saw, but if you heard the announcer right now, he was like, he just wanted to make it difficult on himself. Actually, if you saw, when he was going up, the defender kind of flinched at him, so he was like, ooh, watch this. The point is, sometimes you have to go down in order to go up. Is everybody following me? And what do we mean by down? We mean under the hand of God. See, if you want to go up in life, the Bible tells us that God is the one who takes us up. But the Bible says that we have to bring ourselves underneath God's hand, God's ways, God's truth, and then we are lifted up. Does anybody here want to go up in life and you don't want to go down? You're going to have to go down first before you go up. We saw this in the life of Jesus, all right? So you're there in Philippians chapter 2. Let me turn there myself and get there. I believe we're going to start with verse number, actually, let me just get there and I'll tell you for sure. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. Everybody ready? Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. We see this in the life of Jesus. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Watch what it says. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Are you seeing where Jesus is starting at in these verses? He's starting in a position where he is equal with God. And all of a sudden, he starts to come down. And he starts to come down real low. The Bible says here, he made himself of no reputation. Here is God, and he's making himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse number 8, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to who? Does anybody know? God. Obedient to God. Okay? And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Now watch what happens. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wow, what amazing passages of Scripture. What an amazing love Jesus has. Jesus and what a selflessness Jesus has. That here he is in the form of God. In fact, one translation says he didn't consider it robbery. He didn't consider it wrong to be equal with God. Yet he made himself of no reputation. He gave up his place in heaven. He laid aside his glory. He gave up his divine attributes, and he came in the form of a man for you and for me. And then it says he humbled himself and became obedient to God. Notice what he's doing. He's bringing himself underneath the hand of God, underneath the ways of God, underneath the desires of God, as you and I need to do all throughout our life if we're going to go up. And he humbled himself even to the point of death on a cross. And then verse number 9 tells us, therefore, In other words, because of what he did, now God is going to exalt him. Now God is going to, and he's been given the name that is above every other name, so that at his name, every knee would bow and every tongue confess. Do you see the principle? Some of y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. All right, I'm not going to take you there, but I think that you guys know enough about the Bible to remember the story of the devil. Y'all remember, I'm still repeating last week because I don't know if y'all are getting it just yet. I don't want to talk about this, but I need to make sure that y'all are getting it, all right? If you don't want me to preach long, you got to help me out with some amens and some head shakes and some stuff. Otherwise, we'll be here till midnight, all right? So, no, I'm just kidding. Okay, but remember the devil. Remember what the Bible says about him? First of all, he was created by God, right? And he was in God's service. Does anybody remember how he got kicked out? Jesus said he saw Satan fall like lightning down. You guys get, he went down. What did he say? He said, I will exalt my throne and I will ascend and I'm going to be like God. See, he had it all backwards. He tried to go up on his own. See, the way up in life is to come down, specifically underneath the hand of God. And God will lift you up. Is everybody with me? Okay. So we're talking about up and under. Well, that was kind of, we had some points last week, but I want to take this now a little bit further because we started in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. But actually, you know that if you're going to, you know, if you get a letter from a friend, I forgot, we don't do letters anymore. We do. We don't even do emails anymore. I don't even know what we do anymore. We just do all this kind of crazy stuff, right? Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and all of that, all right? So, but when you get a message, how about that, from your friend? Is that all right? Everybody, is everybody with me? Okay, all right. When you get a message from your friend, you don't just pick a sentence out of the middle of that message and read it and then think that you understand what they're trying to get across to you, right? Well, it's the same with the Bible. You just can't start sometimes in the middle of passages and just read them and think that you're going to come to the right conclusion, okay? So what I want to do is I want to take you back to verse number 1 because verse number 1 of chapter 2 is going to begin to give us the context of what's being said. The principle is absolutely true. If you want to go up, you're going to have to come under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you, the Bible says. But there's also another principle that we left out last week that we're going to get into this week, and I think that you're going to find it really amazing, all right? So Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. Everybody follow me? Philippians 2, verse number 1. This is what it says. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, anybody thankful for the fellowship of the Spirit and affection and mercy and consolation and the love of God. He says, if any of these things are true, verse number 2, he says, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. All the people of God, all of God's people, you need to be like-minded. He says, where to go? Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. What is he talking about? He's talking about unity, right? Now watch what he goes on to say. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Verse number 4, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Now watch verse number 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Are you following the context now? See, not only did, there was two principles at work in Jesus' life. Not only did he bring himself underneath God's ways, God's direction, and obedience to the death of the cross, therefore he was highly exalted. But do you realize that in context, we also see another principle at work in Jesus' life? And what principle is that? That he esteemed you better than himself. That he gave of himself. That he didn't look out for his own interest, but he looked out for the interest of you and me. Question, would Jesus have been completely just sitting up there in heaven, doing his own thing, never coming down here to the earth, never doing anything, and letting us all go to hell? Absolutely. In fact, I wonder sometimes, you know what, Jesus? I wonder, did you ever consider just wiping the whole world out and starting all over? He kind of did that with Noah. And he was perfectly just in what he did. But he, what does the Bible say? I want to get this right. It says that he didn't do anything through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, he esteemed you and I, verse number 3, he esteemed you and I better than himself. Is that hard for you to comprehend that Jesus would esteem you better than himself? I can't accept that, Pastor Joe. That's just like ridiculous. Obviously, he is better than me. No. Yeah. You're not getting it. He esteemed you better than himself. That's why he went to the cross and died in your place. He didn't look out for his own interests, but he looked out for the interests of others. Do you also understand that God will never tell you and I to do something that he doesn't uphold himself? You know, this is a really good principle, especially for those of you who are married and beginning to have children. Amen. Okay. If you want to raise your children properly, you can't live life telling them, do as I say and not as I do. You have to not only tell them how to do it, but you have to show them how to do it with your own lifestyle. See, sometimes children don't grow up the way that we tell them to, because we don't ourselves practice. And the principle is true with God. God doesn't say things to you like, you know, don't steal, but God is out ripping people off. Or, he upholds. So if God comes along and says, hey, I want you to esteem others better than yourself, how many realize that's what he did? It's in context. All of a sudden it switches. It says, okay, take a look at what Jesus did, y'all. You don't like living for other people. You don't like it. Take a look at what Jesus did for you. He was in the form of God. He was up in heaven with all this glory, and he laid it all aside, and he came all the way down for you. And therefore, God has also highly exalted him. Listen, if you want to go up in life, you and I are going to need to practice verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each of us esteem others better than ourselves. Let each of us not look out only for our own interests, but also for the interests of others. Is everybody hearing me today? The way up is to come under your neighbor, your brother, and your sister in Christ. Amen. Don't shout me down while I'm preaching real good now. Calm down, y'all. Sit down. It's okay. Which brings us to our 3 points. I'm going to go through them real quick, all right? 3 points. Can you all handle that? Is that okay? That brings us to point number one. Point number one is this. Greatness is achieved when we serve others. Greatness is achieved when we serve others. Listen, please don't be lied to. Sometimes we can be presented a lie here in America, and we think, you know, greatness is when, you know, I got swag and everybody's looking at my swag and trying to swag like I swag. And greatness is when I have more Twitter followers than everybody else, more Facebook, more Periscope followers than anybody else, more. If y'all want to know what Periscope is, I'll tell you about it later. Greatness is when I reach a certain level of money on my paycheck, or I have, you know, greatness is not, that's not greatness. Greatness is achieved when you and I serve each other. Look, if you want to be great on your job, start serving. I can't, listen, this is one of my pet peeves, but I'm just going to go there because it is, all right? Customer service in this generation has gone out the window. Now they clap, God, now they clap. Look, if you're the owner of a business, you got to learn how to serve your customers. Okay, maybe this is young adults, so maybe you're not an owner of your business. I believe that God wants to make some of y'all owners of your own business. Oh, Michael, you are an owner of your own business. So I'm preaching to Michael right now and all the rest of you, all right? But if you want to be great, if you want your stuff to be great, you're going to have to learn how to serve. How many realize this? If you want to be great on your job, not only should you serve your customers, but you should serve your fellow employees. You've been wanting the promotion the whole time, but everybody knows that all you do is look out for number one. The promotion is going to come when you start to serve others. And then all of a sudden, you're going to get the promotion, and everybody's going to be happy for you. Like, not like, oh, my God, can you believe it? If you want to be great on your job, you got to serve. If you want to have a great marriage, you got to serve. I'm going to close my eyes right now. Hello? Husbands, you're going to have to serve your wives. Wives, you're going to have to serve your husbands. You can't be in a marriage relationship where you're looking out for number one. You're looking out to please yourself. You're doing things with selfish ambition. You're going to have to esteem your husband and wives. Husbands, you're going to have to esteem your wives better than yourself. That's what the whole marriage thing is all about. If you want a great, see, we're talking about going up. We're talking about going up. If you want to have a great marriage, you're going to have to learn how to serve. Greatness is achieved when we serve. How about the kingdom of God? Y'all know that God's kingdom is not of this world. We are the kingdom of God. We are the church. We are the body of Jesus Christ, and we are building a kingdom. You know what? The kingdom of God is going to make its greatest advances when you and I begin to serve one another. Some of us are really good at serving the world because that's what Jesus said to do, but we really, oh Lord, really suck at serving each other. But you and I will never be everything that God wants us to do, and the kingdom of God will never advance as long as you and I are in competition with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. You and I are always trying to one-up the other person, always trying to get ahead of the other person. No. The greatness of God's kingdom and the biggest advances are going to come when you and I serve one another. See, there are some things that you have that I don't have that I need, and I'm going to get to the place that God's called me when you serve me, and vice versa. There are some things that you don't have that I have that you need, and as you begin to serve me, and as I begin to serve you, all of a sudden the church of God becomes the explosive force for God that God always called it to be. But it's never going to be great as long as you and I are living contrary to the ways of God. See, the way up is first down underneath God's hand and underneath one another, upholding one another. Is everybody okay tonight? Which brings us to point number two. Hey, listen, God blesses those who love and do good. We're talking about serving. We're talking about looking out for one another. This is the principle that Jesus put to practice, and this is why God exalted him. In the same way, it's true of our lives. And point number two is that God blesses those who love and do good. Can I for a moment talk to you about your doing good, about your serving? Can I say that in our serving and in our doing good, it needs to be with the motivation of love? See, you can actually come to a place where you are serving and you are doing good, but your motivation is still selfish ambition and conceit. You could still be out for number one, but your motivation should be love for the people that you are serving. Is this okay? Is everybody following me today? You know, the Bible says that everywhere that Jesus went, you know, in fact, there's one place in the gospel, like one chapter to the next, it's talking about Jesus went out and he's preaching to the multitudes, and the very next verse says, and he was moved with compassion. So he fed them because they were hungry. Notice what it says, he was moved with compassion. What is compassion? Is not compassion a flow of love? And out, okay. Then the next time it comes along, it says, Jesus was among the multitude, and he was moved with compassion. So he healed their sick. The next instance right there in the Bible, and I wish I had it for you to just show you, but it says, and Jesus was moved with compassion, so he taught them. Everything that Jesus did, he did because of compassion for somebody else. How many know that the whole reason we read here in Philippians chapter 2, the whole reason he left heaven behind and came so far down low and died on the cross was because Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what he did. In fact, the Bible tells us this is how we know love, that Jesus laid down his life for you and for me. See, everything he did because he did out of love, because he loved the person that he was ministering to. And in our service and in our doing good, we need to make sure that our hearts are in the right place where we are ministering and we are doing good and we are serving out of love for the person and the people that we are ministering to. And the point is that God blesses those who love and do good. God blesses those who love and serve. Hey, did you know that God is not blind to your service and to your good works? The things that you do day after day. Sometimes the things that we do, although they're good, sometimes they get real mundane and just real repetitive. And we wonder, does anybody see what I'm doing? God does. God sees every sacrifice. Come on, somebody. God sees every act of love. God sees every kind word of encouragement. God sees every time you reach out to God sees. And the Bible says that he's not unjust to forget your labor of love. But he will bless you in this life. And then how many realize that when you get to heaven, you're going to be bling bling, man. Oh, I forgot. That's too old for all y'all too. What do they call it nowadays, Antonio? I don't know. You're going to be so rewarded because God blesses those who love and do good. Let me take you to, I missed a verse. Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 3, though. 1 Peter chapter 3, I want to show this to you out of God's word. 1 Peter chapter 3, you're there in Philippians. Go further to the right in your Bible. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8. Watch what the word of God tells us. It says, finally, all of you be of one mind. Sound familiar? Kind of like what we just read, right? Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Watch what this says. Love as brothers. Can you turn and look at the person? No, don't actually do it, but this is kind of a rhetorical question. Can you turn and look at the person next to you and honestly say that you love them as you would your brother or sister? It's a good question to ask. And if you do, good. Keep it up. His love is brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. Notice what God says, when you bless, when you love and do good, God will bless you. See, you've been called to be blessed. You're called to a position of being blessed by God. But the thing that's going to release the lever or open up the window for you to be blessed is when you start to bless, when you love and do good. Verse number 10, for he who would love life. Anybody here want to love life? I do. I don't know about the rest of y'all. You can hate life if you want. God says he who would love life and see good days. Anybody here want to see good days? Because you can see bad days if you want. Watch what he says. He would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Verse number 12 is powerful. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Hey, listen. Maybe today, if you're wondering, where is the blessing of God in my life? Maybe you got to ask yourself, how much am I reaching out and blessing others? How much am I loving and doing good? Because that might be the thing that's in the way of the blessing that God has for you. Okay. All right. Point number three. Moving on. Point number three. Moving on. All right. The way up is down, underneath God's plan and underneath one another, upholding one another. It's the principle of up and under. Point number three is this. Don't worry about those who don't live by the same rule. Here we're talking about don't be conceited. Don't have selfish ambition. Esteem other people better than yourself. Love and do good. And everybody else around you is doing the opposite. It's real easy to get caught up in the madness, isn't it? That's why the Bible just told us, don't revile. Don't revile for somebody who's reviled against you. Don't do evil because evil has come against you. But on the contrary, do good, knowing that you were called to a blessing. See, it's real easy when we see other people living by different principles and we're surrounded by it. And so we just kind of like fall into the mix and we start acting like they do. And how many of you know some of us are strong enough to be like, no, I'm not going to live like that. I love Jesus. I'm following Jesus. I'm going to do it his way. Good. But then what throws you off is the fact that they're living by contrary principles to God's principles, and they're getting blessed. And you're just like, who just got a raise? Oh no, she didn't. Right? When we see other people stepping on other people living lives of competition, selfish ambition, it just seems like they're just soaring. God, I'm loving people and I'm down in the dumps. I don't get it. And the temptation now is to switch and start doing things the world's way. But don't worry about them. Their day's coming. As is your day coming. That's a good place to say amen. The Bible says, faint not in well-doing, for in due season you will reap the harvest. See, you can't worry about other people. See, God's got you right where God wants you, and God's trying to save you and keep you for that special moment, for that special place. Trust me, you don't want what they got. Because you weren't called there. You've been called higher. You've been called to a better place. You've been, just keep on keeping on. And don't worry about the people who don't live by the same rule. I want to read Psalms chapter 37, verse number 7 through 11 to you. Psalms chapter 37, really powerful verse. Portion of scripture says this. I like this. Rest in the Lord. Ooh, that's a word for somebody. We could just stop right there and we had church. Just rest. Rest in the Lord. We're so anxious. We can't even sit still. Come walking across our friend before they even finish saying how you doing. You're like, oh my God, my life sucks. Rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Patience is a kingdom principle. We all need to grow in this area. Wait patiently for him. It says, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Ooh, preach, Psalms 37, preach to me. Don't fret. Don't get worried. Don't get anxious. Don't get all jumbled up because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man that brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Ooh, that'll preach too. Dang. I kind of just got a whipping right there. We think sometimes all of our worry, all of our anger, all of our outburst of wrath, all of our gossip is going to do us good. It just said it only does us harm. Okay. Verse number 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. My goodness. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more. Indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. It may seem like for a time wicked people are prospering. But from one day to the next, you're going to turn around, the Bible says, and look, and they're going to be gone. No more. Wiped out. Just, what happened? And all of a sudden, you're going to find yourself inheriting the blessing. Mark chapter 10, verse number 31. I like this verse a lot. This is what it says. It says, Mark chapter 10, verse number 31. It says, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Let me read this to you out of the New Living Translation. It says, many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem to be least important now will be the greatest then. See, the way to greatness is to come under God's ways and to serve one another. And Jesus says, you know what? A lifetime may go by of you being on the low end of the totem pole, but when this short life is over, come on, somebody, and you step into eternity, all of a sudden you find yourself upon the high end of the totem pole. And those who were so great and so awesome and everybody praised them, all of a sudden now, God's the one giving you praises. What's more important to you? To have it big now on this earth or to have it big later on? I want to have it big later on. I've thought to myself, you know, God's going to have this marriage supper of the Lamb. Y'all know about that, right? One day we're going to sit down and have our wedding reception with Jesus, in other words. How many realize it's going to be a big table? I want to be up on the end where I can actually see Jesus. I don't want to be down on the other man. Bro, you got binoculars? Is there any such thing in heaven? Let me see. Yeah, I think that's him. What's he saying? I told the youth one time, I was like, you can get to heaven and you can find everybody else have a mansion. And how would you feel if you got to heaven and you got a shack? Because of how you lived. Now, I don't know if heaven has a ghetto. I'm just kidding. No. Oh, man. High school stuff. No, heaven does not have a ghetto, but you understand. All right. Too far. Don't worry about people who live by different rules. Just serve God and serve others. Are you hearing me today? One last verse. This is the verse that I forgot. See, the way up is to come down first. With God, when you go down first, you end up going up. With the world, you go up first and you end up coming down. Everybody follow? So go down first, go with God, come underneath and serve other people. Matthew chapter 23. Let me just read Matthew chapter 23, verse number 1, and then we'll be done. Matthew 23, verse number 1 says, then Jesus spoke to the multitudes and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens hard to bear and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do to be seen by men. They want to be great. They want to climb the totem pole. They want to be recognized. It says they make their phylacteries, all right? It's like the strap that went over a Jewish person's head, and then it had this box full of prayers. And so the Bible says here, Jesus says, they make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. All right? Everybody remember how LeBron, he wears a headband? Not anymore, but he used to wear a headband all the time. That's what that was, a big headband with a big box. And they would just like make the box bigger and bigger, and they would walk around with this big box on the forehead. Look at me, I'm more spiritual than y'all. That's what they're doing. They want to be great, okay? And they enlarge the borders of their garments. It says they loved the best places at feast, the best seats in the synagogue, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi, which is translated teacher. But you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father, he who is in heaven. And do not be called teachers, for one is your, for one is your teacher, the Christ. But he who is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Notice verses number 11 and 12 as we close. But he who is greatest among you will be your servant, and he whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Listen, the path to greatness is a lifestyle of serving. And I'm here to tell you today, the world may hail some people as great, but you'll get God's attention and God will call you great when you serve and you put others before yourself. If you got something good from God's word, come on, give him a great big